Support for KJZZ's Science and Innovation Desk comes in part from Palo Verde Generating Station. Dedicated to producing clean air energy, Palo Verde is also an advocate of STEM education in Arizona.
Arizona Public Service, the state's largest utility, has announced a significant move toward massive batteries and likely away from coal power. And in turn, it'll capture solar energy and add that alternative power to the grid. Considering the battles APS had in the past with solar providers, could the utility's announcement be seen as a sea change? In a moment, we'll hear from an APS executive. First, though, I turn to Arizona Republic reporter Ryan Randazzo, who covers the energy sector. Ryan, what does this move tell us about APS' short-term plans?
Well, it's really the first step down a different road for this utility and sort of for utilities in the Southwest. They're saying that this is an inflection point, and from here, it looks like it's going to be cheaper to meet our peak demand by simply building batteries rather than building natural gas peaking plants, which are less efficient than baseload power plants, but sort of what the industry has needed to meet the high demand spikes that we see on hot days here in the Southwest.
So how is this process technically going to work as it relates to solar and usage during the day versus usage at night?
Well, one key to this is the fact that California has so much solar and renewables on their system, and that creates a surplus during certain low-demand hours of the day. So these batteries are going to use that energy. They're going to soak it up, for lack of a better phrase, and keep it until the evening when it's still hot here in Phoenix, but solar panels aren't making electricity when the sun goes down. But we're still using electricity because we turn on our air conditioners, we get home from work and turn on our lights. Now those batteries will dispatch that power in the evening.
How many batteries are we potentially talking about? How much energy storage is the potential for that? And ultimately, how does this affect, I guess, cost both the utility and even consumers eventually?
Going with the last question first, everything that the utility spends money on comes back to the consumers, but it's a question of, is it more prudent to spend money on this technology than it is to go out and build some natural gas plants to meet the demand that we're going to have in the next few years? And they're saying it's more prudent to simply build these batteries. Mm. They're more expensive from a pure cost standpoint. It's more expensive to build capacity in a battery than a natural gas plant. However, the natural gas plant, you have to feed with natural gas for its usable life. The batteries, they're planning on feeding it with free energy or very low-cost energy from renewable resources across the Southwest.
How does this play into, if at all, the whole narrative that we saw related to how APS was dealing with solar providers?
Well, they did have a pretty contentious fight with rooftop solar, the industry in general, and people who aspired to put rooftop solar on their homes, and there was a big debate over what to compensate them. That's been settled. Not everyone's real happy with that settlement, but people continue to install solar in APS territory. So the settlement was good enough that you can still put on solar in that territory and save some money on your monthly utility bill. This step to add these batteries across the state is positive for that industry because it's a sign that APS is willing to take any surplus that comes midday when people aren't using electricity again and store it and use it later. So it's a way for them to, in a sense, make room for solar on the grid. And you would also ask about how many batteries. Mm-hmm. That's still yet to be determined. It's several because there are several different sizes of these, but it's 850 megawatts. That capacity probably doesn't mean a whole lot to people, but it's about half the size of a big coal plant, although it'll be spread all over the state in these batteries. But it's a significant amount of energy storage.
Is this something that could lead to a trend? Could this lead to a different direction for the state's economy, for example?
It's going to be positive in the sense it creates construction jobs. But renewables, for the most part, when you build a wind farm or a solar farm or a battery, they don't require as many people to be employed there around the clock as a coal plant or a nuclear plant. Mm-hmm. So Palo Verde, west of Phoenix, has something like 3,000 people there at times, depending if they're in a refueling outage or not. Solar plants just don't take that many people. Even the very large Solana generating plant outside of Gila Bend just has nowhere near the manpower there. So it's a different kind of economic benefit. You get the short-term construction benefit. You get a different impact because you're losing those long-term, you know, careers that people spend at a coal or a nuclear plant.
Could this APS move in any way influence what SRP decides to do in this realm?
Well, that's always interesting because we have two neighboring utilities here in the Phoenix area. If you can cross the street, you're an SRP employee, and on the other side, you're a customer, rather, and the other side, you're with APS. So it's always interesting to see how they match each other. And SRP has made announcements to invest heavily in solar, and they do have some battery projects as well. But it's certain that they're watching what's going on here. And I imagine this will influence what they decide to buy next. So the next time they need more power capacity to serve their customers, I imagine they're going to look very hard at battery storage and solar, as APS has done.
That's Ryan Randazzo of the Arizona Republic. You can follow him on Twitter at Utility Reporter. Ryan, thanks.
Thank you.
And joining me to talk more about this is Brad Albert, Vice President of Resource Management at APS. And Brad, what actually changed that led the utility to embrace and invest in battery storage?
We've been watching it very closely for the last couple of years as battery technology has continued to improve, but also come down in price. We've been conducting pretty much annual solicitations for power resources, and battery developers have been responding to those over the last couple of years. So we've had a good front row seat to be able to watch the decline in battery prices. And these last 2 years' worth of procurements that we've done, it finally has got to a place from an affordability perspective where it's a good resource choice for our customers from a pricing point and from what it can do for us in terms of serving our customers with clean energy.
Was there a magic number that you were looking for? Did you sort of have to see trends over time?
Yes, very much more of a trend over time. And the unique thing about batteries is it's not just about the price that it costs to go build the batteries. It's what they can do for you. And, you know, here in the desert Southwest, although today may not seem like the best example, it's sunny here in Arizona. We've got an abundance of sunshine, which is great. And it's a great resource to be able to exploit for our customers. What batteries allow us to do is take that excess solar energy that's in abundance here in Arizona and in the desert Southwest region, be able to store it during the day, and then bring it out and use it to meet our customers' needs, which our peak customer needs on a day like today or a sunny day in the springtime or even in the summer, our customer needs typically peak in the early evening hours, say 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Well, the sun's already down by then. So this is a very good tool to use to be able to use solar energy, but be able to shift it to where our customers need it the most.
Do you have a sense of how much more solar you'll be able to use with the use of batteries?
I answer the question this way. This is certainly going to allow us to further our deployment of solar energy. In fact, our first next step will be issuing an RFP so that we can go build a 100-megawatt solar plant and couple that up with 100 megawatts of batteries. We want to do that and get that in service for summer of 2021. Now, next steps beyond that is the question of how much additional solar can we continue to deploy to continue to advance our clean energy needs.
Do you foresee this also coming into play for other forms of renewable energy, mostly wind, things like that?
We're seeing that trend across the country as battery prices have dropped. Unfortunately for Arizona, we don't have the greatest wind resource. APS, we do have a wind farm that is up, I think, close to Williams, Arizona, kind of northwest of Flagstaff, which has been a good wind farm. But Arizona, it's not the windiest state. It's nice to live here. But we've got an abundance of solar. And I think our larger concentration is really being able to take advantage of the solar resources that we have.
So ultimately, how do you anticipate this working? I mean, do you have to build a number of batteries at different locations around the valley and around the state? Technologically, how does it work for you to be able to capture as much of the solar and store it for when you need it later?
It's going to come in several different forms. And I think what we are doing in this first step that we just announced yesterday, one part of that is putting batteries and retrofitting them on existing solar farms that we have to allow us to capture that sunshine and the production that's coming off the solar field in the middle of the day and shift it to that peak customer demand period in the early evening hours. That's one form. The second form is deploying what I'll call standalone batteries, which are just a battery farm that we connect to the grid. Kind of does the same thing, being able to take excess production during the middle of the day and shift it to the nighttime. So we expect to have a number of installations in both types like that over the coming years.
Do you anticipate that the battery technology will continue to evolve? And I ask because, you know, you're talking about making a pretty significant investment. I'm wondering how far out you look in terms of trying to future-proof yourself against something that might come out later that might be better or more efficient than what's there now.
That's the perfect question because it really is a balancing act for us. We want to leave ourselves open to be able to take advantage of new technologies as they continue to develop. Batteries, and we've charted a course through 2025 with the batteries that we do, but with the developments in battery technology, and a lot of that's being driven by electric vehicles, that's also driving developments in the battery space that fortunately we're taking advantage of for our customers. What's around the next curve in terms of battery development and the price of batteries? We certainly hope that the price of batteries continues to fall as well as the performance of it improves, and likely to be other forms of energy storage that folks develop in the future that we'll be able to take advantage of.
All right. Brad Albert is Vice President of Resource Management at APS. Brad, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.